Greetings, everyone, and welcome to yet another exciting edition of Shoulda Had a D8, where we invite friends, fans, family, and the cast to join us as we discuss the events prior on Descent into the Void and Natural Ones. Joining us today, we have most of the cast of Descent into the Void. First up, we have Travis, who plays King.
Hello, everyone.
Zeki, who plays Cal.
Hey, everybody, it's Zektown.
Alex, who plays Monaco.
Hey.
And Adam, who plays Duran.
Brick Squad!
Thanks for joining, everybody.
Thanks for having us.
So, let's wind the clock back as we discuss what happened last time on Descent into the Void. So, we started off with the group split up, with Horatio and Monaco witnessing and going through the entire ceremony of Horatio officially joining the Corporis Arcana. Meanwhile, Cal and Duran holding one of the vampire spawns from the Bloodlend captive as they figure out their next move, and King traveling on and waiting for Horatio and Monaco to come out. Horatio was covered in tattoos and was called something an Archon, where of power, adapting into the elements of war and peace. He was able to grow tattoos, and his hair grew and became more feral-like, though more powerful. And in this, the wheels began to turn into Judean Sunfell as he immediately dismissed all the people who were watching and told Alara to go ahead and conduct something that would jog their memory, erase their memory, or hold them to some type of code, and she went off to do so. Meanwhile, Judean began to surmise that he could use Horatio's power, in accordance to the deal that they made, to possibly either overthrow or do some type of deed with the Grand Magus, the leader of all the Corporis Arcana. But with that completed, they all headed out and met up with King until you all travel back, alerting them about what happened with the vampire spawnling. You all got together and executed him after getting all the information you needed. Cal talking with Drusilla, the leader of the Bloodlend, who said to come alone. And in doing so, he did. You all had traveled back to your manor, and after having meals and concocting plans, Cal had went back to the Grey District, and there was able to get into the Bloodlend's den, meeting up with Drusilla as she turned the several travelers into vampires, and also revealed some secrets to Cal, saying that he was the Mortal Key, but also that he was reincarnated several times over, alluding to that maybe she has some prior knowledge or a familiarity on his past lives, and also revealing the name Eve Goren. But with that, she said that she wanted to be an ally and use the mortal key to open up the doorway to get to the layer of darkness where their true home arises, saying that they would leave this place and leave it in peace, and then he would open it up for them, not alluding to why it was closed in the first place. In any case, you all rejoined back together, had some conversations along the way, the interesting ones indeed, before finally heading off to complete the ritual to find out more information about your weapons with Koben. So, and then we concluded the session with all of you going to Koben, sitting around and into his magical circle as things began to unfurl. But that was the gist of what happened last session. So my first question goes to all of you, actually. So he's not here today, Lewis, but Horatio went through the massive transformation and showed off his abilities. So your thoughts on just the new Horatio?
I'm psyched to see him kick a bunch of butt in combat. I think he's just, this is the coolest crap ever.
He's gonna get popped. Someone's gonna crit his face off and he's gonna go down, and we're gonna be like, oh man, oh no.
No way.
And then he's not going to have Revivify, and it's going to be bad.
That would be like if Avatar started with Aang getting struck with the lightning bolt by Azula. That was like the first episode.
It's not the first episode. He got the fucking power. He's going to use his power for a little bit, and he's going to get struck by lightning, and it's going
to
be bad.
No way, no way. Omar would set up pins for us to knock down with the power first to show off what it does. That's the least... he's at least that kind, I hope.
You hope he's being that kind. He could just throw us right into the lion's den with it and make it a serious challenge.
My first thought is power overwhelming. For all of you StarCraft fans out there.
Does he have a red form and a blue form?
He's like, I don't know, he's like the joining of the Dark Templar and of the High Templar now, isn't he? Like, he's more like a Tassadar at this point.
Yeah, but what do you guys think Judane is going to do with that? Like, that's what I'm really worried about. Like, I'm really excited he got this power.
Oh, he's totally going to try and use it.
Yeah. Like, he's going to ride this dude's coattails like a buffalo, man.
He changed the words in the Gesh to say he was going to bring it back to me, not just any Corporus.
Yeah, like, last second audible, like, hey, by the way, you're also going to just... do all these powerful things just for me and not the actual entire Arcana. That's not sketchy at all.
I bet he's gonna try to adopt Horatio after this is all over and bring him into his family, literally.
What if he's a Duramo?
No.
He's Duramo in disguise.
No.
It's deja vu. It's deja vu.
No.
We just haven't opened the right closet door yet to see, like, the dead body, like, fall out.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, like...
No way. I've been on top of those checks. There's no way.
Have you now? No, I'm just kidding.
There's going to be so many investigation checks done now inside the Arcana.
Well, I've only been on top of them when Duran's not, like, super emotional, which is, like, only, like, one-third of the time.
He's so overwhelmed with love.
In confusion.
How could he not be? You gave your life willingly. You can't hold that against me now.
He intends to spend his whole life held against you.
Aww.
His whole life.
All 3 weeks.
At the end of this campaign? I will say that I have a theory. I'm not going to say what it is. And I'm hoping that... the theory comes to light, because I just feel like I know it would just be very poetic, but I literally can't rely on it. It's like a 90% chance that I'm incorrect, but I'm just like, if this happens, oh my goodness. But I'm like just holding on to the hope, but even I don't know.
And thanks for DM Speculation Corner.
Where the DM gives the vaguest of teasers, and we have literally no idea what he's referring to.
Right?
Just the love and the everything happening between Duran and King. I love it so much. And then, like, I see what I hope endgame is at the end of the campaign for them. I mean, like, anyone, you could just die. It's D&D. So, but if you guys survive to the end and nothing ridiculous happens that does whatever, I can see what I hope the endgame can be, and I really want it to be there because I think it would be a great... But it's D&D. It's all up to the dice, so I can only.
He's gonna be like some Macbeth-ish, isn't it? I just know it.
I mean, I am a sadistic dungeon master when it comes to storytelling, so I like to.
You need to earn those feels.
Yeah, but then Cal's gonna be so conflicted because any party member that comes back from death is gonna be like, you know, you really shouldn't be
right?
here.
Right? I thought that so much. I was just like, I wonder how Cal's gonna feel when, like, you also have bending fate in yours and in your own or bending the scales in your...
Yeah.
We'll see. Hopefully one of you will die.
I feel like...
Hopefully one King of you can, will die.
I feel like King, with my +10 persuasion, could easily justify bringing back a party member. Unfinished business.
Like, that's not the way the scale's supposed to bend.
That's not the way the tale's supposed to be. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead. What were you saying, Alex?
I was going to say, could you use that +10 persuasion to let Monaco get away with summoning some demons or something?
Yeah, no.
Joke.
Was it, though?
Well, it was, because they're actually despicable, and they're demons. What are you going to do with them, right?
Oh,
you're
man.
You're bidding, I guess.
I don't think they do demons.
I think the joke is that she doesn't actually need anyone's permission to be war. Once she gets the power, she won't need permission.
Yeah, well, she don't got the power yet, so she still need to ask.
Well, at least she started talking to King about it. Like,
I know, that's what I was just going to say. I feel like that's like going to come up in the next session, and I don't know. Or maybe the one after. It's looming. It's looming. That is a dark, dark cloud.
A cloud that I can't wait till it starts to pour.
It's gonna fucking
rain on me.
It's exciting though.
I'm very excited for it. Oh man, some juicy story. And I'll admit, I'll say full disclosure and just total candor. I know D&D requires battles, but I'm just like, I just find the interaction between the characters so much like more suspenseful than the actual like suspenseful battles. So I throw them in there because the fight's gonna happen. But I literally love the role-playing aspect so much because you guys put so much into it. So it's very enjoyable to listen back to versus a battle, which of course is fun and exciting, but
we all love the RP. I mean, I know I do.
I
think everybody does. I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think that's one thing that we love about the show is that we get it so deep into the RP sometimes that, you know, an entire session goes by and it's just like an actual real time 3 or 4 hours of like the characters' lives. Like that's what, like, you know, only like a couple weeks have gone by in the game, but every hour that you're listening to is almost like an hour of their life. We like fast forward the sleeping and that's pretty much
right?
It.
Yeah. I totally know what you're talking about. It's like real time.
So yeah, like it's not an upsetting thing either, you know? So,
I like it. It's got a good, it's like, It's got a good pace to it where it's very like dramatic. You have these long overhanging plots going, and we're all super into it. We're all really involved, and we follow them in this really in, like almost to like a minutia level. You know, like the way how they close the door behind them, and then they'll say something in the morning. Like we talk about what breakfast they ate, and it gets
It makes it feel so real. Yeah. It, like, really pulls us in. Immersion. Yeah, I like it, too.
It's really, really, like an immersive... And just listening back in it, it's so...
That's great.
It's the cream. That's what you want.
Sweet it is, indeed. But,
Sweet cream. That's like an analogy I've not heard, or like a, an analysis that's so weird. Where did you hear that?
You know, like the creme de la creme. Creme de la creme.
Okay.
You know, like we're the top. Like, it's what makes it the best. It's the best
it
stuff.
Felt so like. And Omar was like,
the cream.
Sweet.
That is OnlyFans, A Tale of D20s. That is OnlyFans / A Tale of D20s.
OnlyFans.com/A Tale of D20s.
Oh, good dude. Patreon content in the chat.
That's so funny.
Love it. All right, but moving on. Cal, you had ventured alone. Having Hootie, which I would say was a really good idea, for the most part, on your side. You went off and presented yourself to the Bloodlen, going and seeing it was some sort of like jazz nightclub with a performance. It looked pretty legit, fancy. And then you saw...
There was a lot going on, indeed.
You saw... people going behind the scenes, and you, with that high perception, I think it was a nat 20, you definitely witness people getting bit for their pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So,
Cal probably could definitely look from the elation in their eyes. I'm pretty sure it felt very good. You know, like...
Yeah, I'm sure they felt like that's exactly what they wanted to be doing at that moment.
They knew what they were getting into. And no one was dying. Well, to your knowledge, anyway.
That we know of,
saw. Except those three people whose necks got snapped.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, those people that I watched.
But they wanted to die.
They were going on their own.
Well, I don't think they wanted to die. I think they wanted to not die. But they had to get killed in order to get there.
Yes.
Oh, very complex.
But like, would you do it? Would you be a vampire?
Oh, yes.
No.
Yes. What kind of vampire?
I don't care.
Close your eyes. You cannot see anything. Okay, I give a command. Just that's like what you. Just, who wants to live like that?
I mean,
with some boss over your head all the time.
You will always have someone over your head, no matter where you are. That's not a problem being a vampire.
I don't know. I think I would be fine with being like a Dresden like, Files White Court vampire, like a psychic
or like
vampires.
A Lestat, like a Lestat.
I definitely wouldn't mind being a teenage fiction fantasy. Romance.
Okay, like if we're gonna be vampire. Teen lit fanfic vampire drama. If I could be one of those vampires, yeah sure.
I mean, you said which one you want to be.
That's like the best of both worlds. That's the best of all worlds. Like vampire.
The anime Dio Brando vampire. That's like
the one that can shoot lasers out of his fingers and stuff.
It just needs to be able to pose dramatically and look absolutely gorgeous.
Right. That's true. Anime vampires are just ridiculous. They're like, we have powers of anything we want because we're anime vampires.
Anime. Yeah. Okay. That's the vampire.
Do whatever we want. I'm Dio.
There's an anime vampire out there listening to this cast right now. Hit me up.
My neck is yours.
OMG at Travi is my Twitter.
No,
I'm a thrive in the nighttime. I'm fine with this.
If you do teenage vampire live, they have magic rings that make it so they survive in the sunlight, or some type of reason so they can get into sunlight. They glitter or whatever.
It's just too you can't be in direct sunlight because you glow too much.
An anime vampire that would have like a parasol, or you'd only encounter them on the edge of the shade of a tree.
I know, I'm gonna be like the weird freak who walks around with a parasol in the middle of the summer and wears gloves. Yes.
Gentle,
like a Victorian.
Gentle speculation, she wants to make Drusilla wants to make the mortal key into undead in order to prevent him from reincarnating or whatever.
OMG, that would totally break the cycle.
Yeah, so she just invites him to be a vampire, but he's like a Kellan Borges, he'd never go for that. But maybe he would,
no,
because it's tempting, so like, I don't know, just a gentle speculation, she wants to invite him into the court.
Oh. That's a good thought.
Oh, that's
a very good theory.
He's like, let me write that down. I'm getting a notepad.
No, I already know. No, I already have all that done. I have this entire floor and everything that can happen already written and set in stone. But I'm finding it very interested in your actual theories and comparing to what actually will happen.
Also, I think he's wearing a wire.
What?
I think we're all wearing wires.
All right. But, so... My first question, actually, goes to Zeki for Cal. So, to wrap it up, and then you spent time with Drusilla and learned many different secrets. So, walk us through Cal's mindset going through the doorway, seeing all this, meeting Drusilla, seeing the maps that just disappeared at the end, and weird mirrors, and then watching people turn into vampires or in the process, and then that interaction.
I think he knew that he was at a severe disadvantage in terms of doing many things that could have been actionable. So he kind of just had to go with what was happening. There was like 50 other vampires in the room or something like that. And there was no way that he was going to be able to make it out of there alive if he would have just started shooting. As much as he wanted to, like stop the ceremony, prevent these people who are probably being charmed anyways, or they have some kind of like vampire toxin in their blood that's like making them want to be like, here, please. And like that's what he would be thinking is going on. But then the whole thing with the reincarnations and the potential. I think we even made it into like a player theory, like while we were playing, or like shortly right after. So I don't know if it got recorded. That the reincarnations flip flop between Hades and Kalemvor every reincarnation, getting a different one. So I don't know if that was like in the game itself. I can't remember exactly, but I know we like briefly talked about it.
Or we said, what if there's two of you? One of you.
Yeah, that
is
was like
the...
that was the other. That was the flip side of the options. There might have been two of us at the same time, and maybe like.
What if one of you is like the keyhole and the other one is the key, and together you open the door, the actual door?
What if it's something like we end up having some sort of showdown and us clashing and getting into close proximity, exhibiting our powers, like the powers combined, like I'm thinking of like two, like in like Dragon Ball Z or something, with two energy balls like hitting each other and like exploding crazy, but maybe that explosion is what opens the door.
Are you the Keymaster?
Apparently, yeah, I guess I would be, but then is the other one the
gatekeeper?
Lock?
Yeah.
The gatekeeper, yeah.
We all watch Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
King, if they say, if someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
I know, because I am.
I don't think he. I don't think King sure. would. If they were like, "Are you a god?" King would be like, "Well, you know, I don't want to say anything, but
technically,
I have no expectations to what's going to happen because I just want it to happen. Because if I lean one way, and I'm not going to be able to play right as the DM, so I'll have to do what I feel is right in that moment. So I'm.
That's how it goes, baby. In the moment.
That's why it's D&D.
I'm like, cause I was thinking, I was like, what if you guys go off negative to Monaco revealing? What if it's what if it's positive and it'll just be normal? But what if you guys are there's like a rift, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not gonna think about it. I'll see what happens, and I'll just go with it.
Which is better than Gantar.
No there's promises.
There's most definitely gonna be a rift.
Like. Zero promise.
It's gonna be this whole sub arc of Minako and Horatio finding themselves both together and together against the rest of the party, and how we all have to come together.
I don't want to say anything because I don't want anything to be influenced, nor do people think that we're influenced anything once they listen back to this. I will say that I want drama.
I think that's what's gonna happen. I think it's also gonna be for like the rest of the party and the two of them, like a big story and a lot of moments about forgiveness and like what that means, and you know, coming to a level of catharsis with yourself that allows you to forgive the other person, not necessarily just because they've done all these other things on top of it. It'll be a personal thing for each character, I think.
I think every character at some point is going to go through a moment of a moment where, well, I don't say every single character, but the dichotomy of the makeup of how the group is, with you have King and Duran and Monaco and Horatio, and then also the interwoven relationship between each of everyone there, not discounting Cal, because now we're discovering truth about Cal, and I feel like we're going to get to the inner mush of who Cal is and his emotional anchor, but everyone else kind of has like this emotional connection. And I'm curious to see how it all just unfurls and all that. And I think it's going to bring a lot of drama coming there. And like, I think everyone...
Oh, totally. And I just had this vision in my mind because I pictured Cal and the scale, the Kalemvor scale. And there's clearly King and Duran on one side of that scale and Monaco and Horatio on the other. And Cal is, guess where? Right in the middle.
But the thing is, like, you also throughout this campaign, even prior to all of the people have listened to, there's definitely a relationship of almost like a leadership relationship between King and Horatio, where they have separate forms of the way that they want to lead the party. But they butt heads all the time. There's many different sections when Horatio and King have butt heads, but they've always come to like, but we work together well together. So then that puts little chinks here and there. And now, is this whole lie going to make it all come crumbling down? Because like, we saw a taste of that when Galdrum came into the picture and you guys were completely split. But is that totally mended, or are we going to see the?
I don't think that it's totally mended, and it very may well be the straw that breaks the camel's back. It might be. I'm not sure. I definitely, like Adam said before, I don't want to think about it too much because I want it to feel natural, but I do feel like it is going to be hard for King to like let it go or accept it, especially in the very beginning. And I think that you're right. You know, Horatio and I did butt heads, especially with the leadership aspect, many times. But I feel like we sort of were at, I don't want to say extreme ends of the spectrum, but we were definitely on opposite sides and pulled each other towards the center of the rationale spectrum, I guess, and sort of helped each other balance. But now King might think like, was he just tricking me this whole time and leading me astray from what I should have been doing? Like, when I was trying to be more pragmatic, even though it was killing those pig people and goblin people, it was the right thing to do. They were, like, definitively evil, and he justified reasoning with them. And now King might be like, that was wrong! They were evil and should have died! You know what I mean? So I don't know. He's going to think back everything.
Down the path of being a tyrant?
I don't think that he, like, doesn't think that he's a tyrant. And I personally, I know that we joke around and say that sometimes King has tyrant-like tendencies, especially in the beginning. And that was trying to be a young and naive person trying to grow into a very heavy leadership role. I have literally zero expectations or literal zero intentions of trying to be a tyrant. So in those times where I feel like I'm being harsh, King is thinking of it as being pragmatic and relies on his allies to rein him back when it crosses the line into cruel or evil or, you know, because I don't think that King would ever get to a point of cruelty or evil, especially with a good deity with inside of him, but more like cross the line of that was too much with regards to a ruling or a law. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm trying to be abstract and it's kind of hard, but you get what I'm saying or no?
Well, I think that King Hole has these high standards and that sometimes people can't live up to those standards because they're just people.
That's true too, and he needs to realize that that doesn't mean, you know, that they're terrible people or whatever. It's that people are people, and you need to adjust and evaluate accordingly.
I find King. But I had a conversation with Lewis a while back, and I'm going to amend what I said in the conversation and having on the recording. I compared your two characters as the protagonist and the. The protagonist of the story and the like hero of the story or something like this. Whereas in putting in aspect of anime, I said that he's more of a Naruto and you're more like, and King is more like Sasuke. And then to go even further into it, now this is super anime nerd. Some of you might not get this, but then if you look at Digimon and you look at Tai and you look at,
oh my God.
And you look at,
PK.
Yeah. I can't remember.
Matt and Tai.
No, yes, Matt and Ty, but I was trying to remember.
It's definitely Matt and Ty.
Yeah, I was going to say Matt and Ty, but yes, Ty and Matt. I see as, because Horatio is extremely optimistic, and that optimism sometimes blinds him to the reality, whereas King is very pragmatic, but is usually like straight to it, succinct, and gets to the point. And that's literally how the two characters in Digimon lead, because right now the new Digimon's out and I'm watching it. So, and it's like, I see them too. I'm like, there's King and there is Horatio, and then like they butt heads so many times, and in the end, they became super best friends, and they fuse their powers in anime. But
so I feel like that's what we're in the process of, like, butting heads and coming apart, coming back together, and like we bounce off of each other in like a good way. Mm-hmm. Or I felt like we were working towards, you know. I don't know if Horatio's my best friend, but I feel like we're becoming very close and very good friends, and I consider him a strong ally of mine. And I don't know. What you just described sounds like something cool. Hopefully we could do something like that in the future.
Definitely. I'm curious. And then, like, in Digimon, there was that one time when they were going back to the real world in Digimon, where everyone split up because Ty and Matt were like, F you lead that way, and then some people went with him, F you lead that way, and some people with that, and eventually they needed each other. And that's what, and I'm just like, not that that's gonna happen, nor am I planning that for what's gonna happen, but I'm like, is this whole lie gonna be that thing, that pew, and then we see that kind of rift? Obviously it's D&D, so hopefully you all just still party together.
I have some strong feelings and words about the relationship of the Digimon characters that I can't say on recording, because there's some pretty harsh words. But I think this is gonna. I think we've been through moments like this where people's truths come to light. And I think the fabric of our team, like that unity, that friendship that makes the team, is gonna be strong enough to survive whatever comes next.
Right. I see, like, you know, like the scene in Hercules when the witch is trying to like cut the life string and he's being like heroic. And then it turns to, like, gold, and they can't cut it. I feel like that's our fabric underneath. And right now, Omar, as the DM, is like, let's just slice it down with this drama, and it's going to turn into a golden sheet, and we're going to be okay in the long run. But it's going to ruffle the beginning a little bit, because...
But I feel like all know. Really big emotional events like this, the team's going to come together and be better for it. Just like how King and Duran came together after a big fight. Mm-hmm. And that Omar is going to sucker punch us with something bad, like, game-wise, while our characters are sorting out their interpersonal nonsense. A bad guy's going to be, like, in the background loading a bomb into a ship.
No, all of the evil undead are going to overrun the city, and Grey District's going to fall.
Oh, man, I'm so excited for next session, if we get
we
there.
We didn't save the city, but we saved ourselves.
Right? I could just bamf us the F out.
And we saved
we got
our
a few
friendship.
Ways to leave.
That's true.
Bye, Felica.
Right.
Before I get to the overarching theme, the last big event that transpired is that you all finally went over to Koben's and started to... give your weapons, each of you giving into the weapon Duran had already given, and learned some new things, although we'll learn more from his magnetic blade that still needs to be named, as well as King with new Chastafel and Horatio with...
Oh, I can't wait. Can I... I'm not going to drop any, like, major secrets for... Can I give, like, a tiny,
Don't
tiny...
Don't give anything, because it's...
Nothing?
Going to be, from this recording, okay. 3 days from now, or 2 days from now.
I've had a name for this sword since 2 days after I got it.
So why didn't you name it?
Oh, no.
Just waiting for a good moment.
I have to name it in story. I can't just name it for no reason.
I mean, you can do it as you see fit. Horatio gave the staff of Al-Solar, so maybe we'll find out some juicy goods on your old friend, the Pontifex. And Cal gave his key opening, door opening, key unlocking, super secret, who knows, artificer guns of Kalimvor, made by his adoptive father. And then, of course, things begin to swish and moan, and magic was happening with this mage. So, any thoughts? And then you all can go on one by one. We'll start with Cal. Thoughts on what you might learn or get from this reading with your double magic pistols?
I am hoping that some vision of truth about where I should be aiming these revolvers is what is going to happen. It's going to manifest itself as like a moment of clarity and like a true focus, or like a true shot sort of moment, like getting a, like a closer connection with these revolvers, and hopefully it, like, through the power of Kalemvor, like, guides the balanced path of, like, what he should be doing next, and, like, why maybe his adoptive father stole him away from both factions. You know, like, what is that middle path of inaction versus what I'm being faced with now in taking action, and how that kind of balances out. I think that's what's kind of going to happen.
Mm.
Right, that's what I envision happening. I hope it happens, because that'd be really sweet.
Interesting. And Monaco giving her wand. We don't actually know much about Monaco's weaponry or where she gets it from, but we might not find any prediction on, unless you think you'll give away anything about your backstory, anything expecting from your reading with your wand.
Oh, I expect it to be bad news, or perhaps something terrible.
I will admit, Monaco's story is a tragedy, but I'm optimistic it will turn into an uplifting...
I want to have a happy ending for her.
I want... I will say I want one too, but it's up to the dice.
Yeah.
Alright. Durand's giving his magnetic blade. Anything you... Any predictions? We know a whole mess of the magnetic... We know a whole mess of question marks from the magnetic blade. Coben saying that from what he studied, it was definitely something chaotic-like from within the void that he sensed from it. But that's all stuff you knew already.
I don't imagine any good news. I'm not expecting anything good.
It's a cast blade.
Yeah, it's so cool. I'd never get to use it because, you know, the husband.
Yeah, if I can't Mage Wars, you can't use the fucking Chaos Blade.
That's bullshit. You know, if King can cast magic that kills Durant, I think Durant should be able to dip into some Chaos Blade every once in a while.
You're gonna taint my soul! You're bound to me!
Oh my god. You know what I totally picture? I see, this will go over some people's heads, but the in League of Legends, the Varus thing, when they all, with the two Varus guy, oh. the him and his lover fuse into one, and it's like tainting his soul, and he turned to Varus. No.
Yes.
But last but not least, King giving the new Chastafel 2.0. Anything? We know it breaks into unicorns. That's about it.
Breaks into pieces and summons cool steed. Mount mode. Yeah, I think that... I don't know, I don't want to be too hopeful, but I hope that it turns into, like, this badass power staff, where, like, I get some cool new abilities, because the healing... Cure Wounds in it, Lesser Restoration, and Mass Cure Wounds is super useful, and I use it a lot, and the fact that I can fly on it, too, is fantastic, and now... I've been practicing, so I'm super agile and can do tricks is helpful, but I feel like a spirit of a unicorn, and like when I was speaking to my god, like a magical being went into it, and that could have been a demigod or another superpower. So this staff got some magic in it, like, and I want to unlock its secrets and, like, really know what it can do, because ultimately from King's perspective, he's excited to learn about the power because he can use it to protect his friends, and he can use it to protect his lover, and he can use it to help everyone, like, solve the issues of his friends and be the king that he proclaims himself to be. You know, right now he is an envoy for Queen Camilla, and he takes that duty seriously. So to be a powerful and important person, sometimes you need to have, you know, what's the thing? Put up or shut up? So I gotta put up, you know what I mean? I gotta get that, pull out that power, you know? So I'm ready to... Also, I feel like if I greater attune myself to the staff and use it as a conduit to cast my magic more directly through it, it itself might be able to help charge or lessen the burden of the life force I take from Duran, because I can tap into the soul of the thing inside the staff itself. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know exactly, but that's sort of like what I think it might do too.
Interesting. I've definitely, like, so much that I have a script written for each of the reveals. Some people have more than others, because some people have more magic more than others in their things. But there's definitely a, almost like a communing of your weapons is what's going on here. So I hope you all enjoy.
That is what it is. You keep saying reading, and it's been a ritual. You make me think that you're going to pull Miss Cleo. Call him in
now. No, I said reading as in, like, I'll be reading what's happening.
Yeah,
a lot of the times I go off the cuff just so I can flavor it with, because you guys are like, I'm gonna combine this, that, and this weird shit, so I'm like, don't have that prepared, so I have to go off the top of my head. But this, because I already knew what all your weapons would do, more or less.
We've been talking about this for a long
so
long
time. About
time
we got to get some power ups.
That's what the listeners are coming for.
I'm just like, I wonder how overpowered you guys are gonna get, because then I'll just have to keep ramping up the, like, you guys have never faced an actual normal creature. I'm just like, this is what would happen for people who don't have vagaries, this, that, and a third in homebrew. So I'm like, and same thing to the monsters to get them so they're on the same level. So
I do the same thing. You want your people to feel powerful, just make quadruples of HP and let them smash at it. You know what I mean? Like,
I give them a new ability.
That's what makes it dramatic.
Yeah, and I'm just like, you would have an ability that would let you do this. This should be fun. It's like, there's half your HP. But you can easily heal it back with your, let me just dance around people and stuff. So it's balanced. So far, it's still balanced enough. So I'm curious to see how I'm going to balance these possible power-ups. It'll be very
especially
exciting.
If we just start smashing through stuff. It's just like, oh, well, this next one, it magically has these extra abilities and is, like, heavily armored. Look at that. It just summoned more armor for itself.
Yeah, like, oh, did you not know? Sorry, Daram was watching you from his super godly something, and poof, he just powered them up for you. Just because.
Nope. That's DM information. Daramo is a god.
No, I'm just
Half-Life 3 confirmed.
But yeah, it should be a really great very good session. I can't wait to see it all for all, and I just literally can't wait, because in 24 hours from this moment, that's a little bit later, but in less than 24 hours we have finally the gala, and will we ever get to Mage Wars? Who knows.
Mage Wars.
That gala, man. We've been talking about this gala for literally months.
This is like, it's like
months.
We need to. The day you got here, they're like, and actually, not even. You were in Beach Bell, and they were like, I hear there was one mention of possibly a gala coming up. I don't think you guys picked it up. And then when you got there, they're like, oh, the gala. Unless you did. They were like, the gala. And then, like, so this gala has been just like. So it's just going to be quite the event. If you when you guys get there, so I cannot wait. Will you guys level before you get there? We'll see after this session. You're actually pretty close to leveling.
I'm so scared of what's gonna happen at the gala.
It can pronounce either way, but I don't know what is the best way.
I've heard gala, like, my whole life.
I've heard gala as well.
We looked it up, and it was like, pronunciation is gala. Someone said gala on a TV show. We're like, what the hell is that?
We looked it up, and it was, it's pronounced gala. I think we should commit to gala.
It's good. In Duskhaven, it spells gala.
I'm galling on that.
I have this, like, secret fear that we're going to meet the king. And he's just totally being controlled by Judean. And we're going to see through that, but no one else is. And then we have to, like, try to save the king. But, like, how do we do that? And then we're
especially now that he rejoined the Corporis.
Like, yeah, and it's going to be like, gods damn it. We have to save a queen, and now we have to save a king and this entire plane of existence at the same time.
Judean. Nope. It'd be so bad if Judean was controlling him. It would be so embarrassing, because then Judean would be the one we'd have to go to help for, and Judean would be like, what? Oh, so you come back for my help now?
Yeah, but what if Judean's, like, actually acting for Daramo, and that's, like, we're just handing him the keys of the castle and not
Then Omar doesn't want to play the campaign then, because then that's like literally every person we've ever met is in Drama's pocket, and there's no way to win.
I don't know if not everybody.
We have to have some allies. I feel like
Queen Camilla was not, but...
Yeah.
You have tons of allies.
Yeah.
We should definitely check on her to make sure she's still alive.
Number one, that.
Yeah.
Your dream was a few days ago, right? So she might not be.
And I think that the king is a good guy too. It's just I don't think he's in control of himself.
What?
Like everyone's been whispering it every time we talk to somebody about the king. They're like, oh, like the Arcanist is like really telling them what to do. Like they're the ones that are really in control of everything. It's like I feel like I have like this, like I was saying, like this fear that we're gonna meet him and he's gonna be like, oh, it's nice to meet you. I haven't heard anything about you. Like what's going on? And either he's like not gonna be able to help us because like there's like a mental block on him from like remembering certain things or something. I don't know. I just feel like it's gonna be bad news, and then we have to like save the king now too. Which is good drama and
good drama. Yeah.
All I have to say is leading to, first of all, that I can't wait now, definitely to the gala, and then you can all see.
Oh no! What did I do?
And you'll all see exactly what it is. It's very interesting. I will say to Travis's point with just like there's everyone's in whoever's pocket and all that. I'm not confirming or denying that at all. But I will say everything that happens from here on out or from what you've experienced is definitely a consequence from losing the Northrill. It's like, you know how like timelines sort of like shift? That was like a very big fork and now you're like this way. So this would never have happened. Like, total.
Do you guys like Himalayan or sea salt poured in your bones?
I'm just saying.
Because this kosher salt is getting rigid, girl.
I prefer the extra potassium that gives the Himalayan salt the pink hue that is makes it so famous. The pink orange. Here.
Thanks, geologist.
I kind of feel like consequence is a funny codified way of saying punishment.
It's not a punishment. This has been an amazing story so far. I'm actually glad that, and I had absolutely no, it was kind of like, I don't know what to prepare if you win or lose. I have an idea. I know what's going to happen, but I would then be reflective. And I was halfway thinking, I was 90% sure 80% sure you would win, and then like you guys did the spear, so spear versus spear, their spear hit harder, and then all this happened. And I feel like looking at what I thought would have happened versus what this happened, I think this turned out to be such a better story. it caused it to be so much more dramatic, and I'm just excited. So I see as the North as a blessing, and I'm not trying to throw salt on it. I'm just showing that was a pivotal point. Like, if fans want to go back and analyze and say, oh, that, this, that, and that, what was the catalyst to start these events?
Yes, fans, please go back and see how Cal and Monaco broke King's plan immediately and ruined the battle for us. And he's at Zektown.
You can at me all day, but we generally did not have a very strong plan, and our plan was to go separate ways and then see what happens and try to get extra bonuses, and that is what we did. And then PA just
at ZEKTOWN, you can send all that analysis to him.
Please do.
But listen, I will say, listening back to that episode, it is so dramatic. It does keep you on the edge of your seat. It's really good, though. But the one overall theme, as Zeki had so artfully put, is just that the Corporis are everything. Everyone seems to not trust the Corporis except for the Corporis themselves and then anyone else who's a normal person. But everyone in power just like, oh, blah, 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 the Corporis are bad. Like, yeah, I'm a bloodthirsty vampire, but the Corporis are bad.
Yeah, all the druid and the elves are like, oh, I'm like, oh, we're fine, but don't trust them. Don't trust the Corporis, they're evil.
And then, like, knowing
the... Oh, we're the secret order of knights, don't trust the Corporis.
Exactly.
Like, literally everyone is telling us
even
not to trust
ex-Corporis
them.
Even an ex-Corporis or retired Corporis is like, oh, yeah, I don't really trust that Judean.
Yeah, I left that clubhouse a while ago. I haven't been back.
Yeah, they haven't been the same since...
Judean Sunfell.
Who is your Dularian
Judean. Judean.
Dramo. Elara
Dramo. Judean Dramo. Judean Dramo. Dramo!
I told you. I said it before.
But we will see. I feel that soon, all your questions will be answered. And then more questions
will be revealed.
Yeah. Get your notebooks out.
But I can't wait until see what happens next. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Thanks so much to the wonderful cast of Descent to the Void. Thank you all for joining me today as we discuss the past events. Everyone out there, we love you so much. Thank you for listening. From the first chapter to the last page, be kind to yourselves and love one another. See you next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.